This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. David Day, UNK baseball coach, is my co-host today on this Tuesday, and we're going to talk a little Legion baseball. Paul Stroh, Shelton Gibbon, they are playing still in the Class C state tournament. The defending state champions are still alive, so we'll see if they're able to continue their victorious ways tonight. And we will continue our Big Ten football preview. We've got a little Minnesota to bring to you from time to time, and they are the wild card, the challenge. They were one really play away from being in Indianapolis last year after they beat Nebraska. Couldn't quite finish it off against Wisconsin. So we will talk with defensive end De'Aaron Cochran. Fun interview with De'Aaron on today's Doug and Danny Show. And back from vacation, revitalized, ready to go, Damon Day. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? Good. Life's good. Started back to work yesterday, so it's been...
That doesn't make anything good. What are you talking about?
You know, it's time to you know, summer's over with, basically, and it's time to get back into that normal fall through spring routine, and so I'm starting to get excited about the boys getting back into town and kind of summer. I know there's still some state tournaments going on, but our coaching staff's done a great job. Coach Hodges and Coach Clapp did a great job of getting out this summer and seeing what we needed to do for 2016. So, yeah, after a long week off traveling this beautiful country, still recruited while I was on vacation, but that's part of the business.
That way you can turn an expense file.
There you go. So, no, it's great to be back and excited. A lot going on in the sports world. It's college football time of year. You know, we still got Tom Brady and Deflategate, but, you know, I'm most excited about the pennant races and all that's going on there. So, yeah, it's a good time to be a sports fan.
I am tired of ESPN television just showing me camp. Who cares? You've got too many channels and too much stuff if that's what you got to use to fill. And some of the things that are being put out there about ESPN now not being the big boy on the block anymore television-wise, you kind of wonder why. Well, that would be one of the reasons why. The Huskers will begin camp on Thursday. Fan Day is tomorrow. Hastings College will begin practice on Sunday. And UNK will begin football practice a week from Thursday on the 13th. They open the season 3 weeks later today. The MIAA preseason polls are out. It is media day in Kansas City. Josh Lamerson and a couple of Loper players, Dylan Lushen representing the defense and quarterback Bronson Marsh representing the offense. They're scheduled to speak here in about 10 minutes, and we hope to be able to bring you those comments towards the end of the show, at least a few of the comments from Coach Lamerson getting ready for his first year. The Lopers in the 12-team league, they are picked to finish ninth, and I guess there should be no surprise there. There should be no surprise. I mean, ninth and tenth, that's kind of where they've been picked all along. They haven't proven anywhere that they should be higher than that, and that's where the Lopers will continue to be picked until they make that move. And you look at how deep the MIAA is. When Washburn is tied for seventh in the poll, a playoff team. That tells you something. I mean, all these teams, Washburn, Emporia, Fort Hays, they're 6, 7, and 8 in the poll. Northwest Missouri and Pittsburgh State, who were co-number one last year and have won national championships in the last 5 years, they're 1 and 2. And then Central Missouri, Central Oklahoma, Missouri Western are 3, 4, and 5. And there's 12 teams, 14 of them play football. And Bob Borchter, the commissioner, briefly addressed it today. He was being asked about the stability of the MIAA. I caught kind of the back end of his press conference this morning. But one of the things that just... That's where the Lopers are, okay? That's one thing. That's where the football team is. And they take on Northwest Missouri State in the first game of the year on the 3rd of September. But the MIAA, I don't know. I just want to say they screwed UNK. And I'm not sure that that's exactly correct, because part of it wasn't the MIAA's fault. But to let Lincoln University, and I don't have the other team in front of me, there's 14 teams that play football in the MIAA.
Southwest Baptist.
And to let, and they're probably, if they're not the two worst, they're two of the four worst right now in football. And to let them out to go play football somewhere else really doesn't help somebody new, and two or three of the programs are at the bottom of the conference like UNK. When hey, oh, I'm sorry, here in the Big Ten, Purdue. Ah, you go play in the WAC. You go play with Cincinnati this year. You go play in the AAC. Go find someplace better to play, someplace more competitive. You get out of here. It's like British soccer. When you're good enough, come back and you can play football in our league. This is a 4-year deal, so there's still plenty of time left. 3 more years, including this year, on that deal. But they allowed that is just beyond me.
You know, from a head coaching standpoint, I don't look at it for the decisions, the powers that be that allow this to happen. I mean, from a coach who's in an athletic department where this is allowed, it is a very frustrating thing. But I don't make those decisions, so I can't question those decision-making sides of some things. But from a coaching standpoint and from a, you know, another sport standpoint is, you know, the thing that frustrates me is, you know, the MIAA in football is a resource league. There's a lot of resources that go into that to have a football program at a high level in the MIAA, whether it's facilities or coaches or the gamut. It's a big-time money and commitment. And, well, now I have to go beat two teams that don't have to make that commitment in their football program. And those types of things end up on the basketball court with another guard, another, you know, in women's sports. So I think people look at it as, how is that fair just from a football standpoint? But I look at it from the standpoint of resource allocation, that, you know, now he can go get a couple extra pitchers, you know, that we can't go get at the University of Nebraska-Kearney because we're invested in our football program. And I'm excited that we're invested in our football program. But it is unfair to the standpoint of where those resources go. And so I don't agree with a lot of things from the MIAA standpoint, but I really would be interested to hear how you let two teams pick and choose what they're going to compete in. And I don't think that it's one of those situations to where the MIAA necessarily needs those two teams. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you talk to a majority of coaches, baseball-wise, and I'm sure basketball-wise, a 12-team league is cleaner. A 12-team league in baseball is a lot cleaner from that standpoint.
14 is that tweener. Well,
10, you either got to go to 16 or 12.
10 is a tweener. 14 is a tweener. The reason it is for 14, you can't really get everybody played. And if you do in certain sports, basketball, volleyball, baseball, you really overextend yourself and you don't have a chance to play other things. If you get to 16, you can split it into 2 8s, have a champion at the end of the year. And if you're down to 10, then everybody can play each other in a more comfortable fashion. But really, the UNO departure is what really messed this
whole
thing up.
It
started it.
I completely disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. That is everybody's crutch. That is everybody's...
No, but I'm saying, now let me finish then. There was nobody else to bring in, though. I mean, and Borchter said this today. All the other Division II schools in our, as he said, footprint are comfortable with where they're at right now. So I'm not blaming it all on UNO. I'm just saying that is why this league kind of wobbled there a little bit. UNO went out. UNK came in at the same time. Another school.
Truman left.
So I
don't believe it just, and I understand what you're saying. UNO put a crimp in the thing. But that was 4 years ago that UNO made that move. Heck, UNO is almost a full-fledged Division I member. And the MIAA has just either stood packed at where they're at with this kind of odd number. I think what everybody's starting to realize is that everybody jumped to the super conference model. Everybody jumped into the – drank the Kool-Aid on this 14, 15, 16-team league. And I think what you're starting to realize is that it's starting to affect programs, basketball-wise, football-wise, that every game is a conference game. And I think you're starting to see that it's affecting the student-athlete experience because, you know, Coach Lamerson can't go grab a team from the Northern Sun that's rebuilding like UNK is and just kind of go at it with each other type of thing. Every game means so much that, you know, and so I think the fact that they've added so many conference games and there's not those three or four non-conference games really affects the student-athlete experience, really affects the development of your team, and I think it really affects just the overall perception of Division II athletics as a whole, and I think that's where we've missed the boat being Division II by going to these huge super conference conglomerates. It's just become too big.
Especially when the NCAA will do nothing to facilitate the regionals and things like that that just mess everything up. I will ask you this question, and I think this is two-parted. If I'm the MIAA and I've been a member of the MIAA for decades, I'm probably not listening. I'm listening to UNK, but I really don't care. I mean, let's face it. You can be politically correct, but the new kid on the block is not going to come in and run the joint. Yet UNK has some ideas, and I think what we're saying is either there's some tweaking that needs to be done in the MIAA. If Lincoln and Southwest Baptist don't want to be in to play football, get the hell out. Get out of the conference. That's the number one sport. Lincoln, you might be best at track like Adams State was in the RMAC. But you know, if you don't want to be part of the conference, get out. This isn't like you're an affiliate in swimming or wrestling or a smaller number of school sport. Not a smaller sport, but a sport that just doesn't have as many schools sponsor you. If you don't want to participate in this conference's core sports, get out. Get out. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I go back to this. Is it one of those things, too, where you say, oh, you know what? We had a lot more success in the RMAC in baseball than we're having in the MIAA. So baseball is going to ask to go back to the RMAC. What? Everyone would laugh at me.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, you know what? Or if Coach Lamerson got up today and said, you know what? We really want to go back to the RMAC because they got one or two powers in that league and we got seven or eight powers in this league. Guess what? UNK is going to go back to the RMAC. Lamerson would get laughed off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay for these other schools. And so, like you said, it's a double standard type of thing. I don't know where I think that this is in my view of it is, like you said, we are the new kids on the block. We do have some great ideas. But we are the farther west outpost. And until Central Missouri, until Missouri Western, until Missouri Southern, until those core group, the Emporia States, those crew, until that core, those the Washburns that have been in the league forever, until they raise their hand and say, this isn't right.
Uh-oh, ain't happening.
I don't think any. The thing that I've realized in being in the MIAA is there needs to be that wheel of momentum. If it's three or four guys talking, you don't get anywhere. Five or six guys are talking. Now we're getting to 50%. Now you got to get over that 50%. It's almost like they want to know a hand count of votes.
Well, yeah, but if you get to 50%, the decision's already made.
Right, but I do.
That's a lot of backdoor, back meetings, phone calls, emails. Nothing ever gets taken care of that way. If you don't, because you're rocking the boat. Nobody wants to rock the boat.
Well, you get the powers that be that go above the athletic administration. You go all the way up to the highest ends, and now it becomes, well, I don't want to offend that guy. He's a good, you know, and so you start making those types of things. But I'm interested to see, you know, take it away from a UNK standpoint. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with the Big 12. What's going to happen with, you know, these 65 division so-called power Division One schools, what's their schedules going to look like? Because I think they're sitting around and everyone else is looking at it going, man, these big conferences aren't quite as cool as I thought that they were going to be.
Big conferences are cool if you're good.
Oh, right. SEC's cool because they got the TV contract. Big Ten's cool but the Big 12, you know, the Pac-12, the Pac-12 made more money than any other conference.
Everybody, in the last 20 years, We'll stick with football, but I'm sure we can probably go to basketball. But everybody in the last 20 years, which is a generation, has stunk at football. Alabama was bad. Yep. Florida State wasn't good. Even Nebraska had a couple of years down there. And I'm not saying we're great now, but I mean, you look at Oregon 20 years ago, 15 years ago, they weren't all this. You look at those teams that are in the top, they've all had their cycles. I mean, in some cases, when you take a look at an Alabama, they were not good. They were really not good. And then they put it all together and they've won multiple national championships. So everybody's been there. It's just, where are you when you can take advantage? Like Minnesota right now, like Kansas State was in the Big 12. You have got to hit it at the right time. Now, let's face it, there are teams that have not been good in 20 years. But all the good boys have not been awesome this whole 20-year stretch. You can go find teams out there and say, yeah, they've been bad the last 20 years. Ooh, we were hot. We made that bowl game. We played in the conference championship game. We were 9-4.
I was joking with some Colorado fans. I was joking with one of them the other day. Asked if they still had football. It's been 25 years since Bill McCartney and Darian Hagan and Eric Bieniemy and those guys were the toast of college football. And now look at them. You know, like you said, it's a cyclical thing. People forget when Alabama couldn't win and all those types of things. I mean, if you would have said that TCU is going to be a football powerhouse, you know. But that's, to me, the what happens to the Big 12. Because there's only 10 schools in it. What happens to the Big 12? And this whole 64-team conglomerate, everything that they're trying to figure out, everything under the sun is, to me, the Big 12, and I find most interest because it's in the footprint, the Nebraska used to be in it. I really find the Big 12, God, did they miss the boat. I mean, obviously, their commissioner cost with his job and everything, but, man, they just seem to be all the chairs, kind of when the music stopped playing, they just kind of seem to be the guys left without a spot. And so how do you fix that? You know, is there two schools out there that can really jump into that 64?
You go out to Kevin Costner in the outpost that dances with wolves, and you find out what he thinks. Oh, you're still here?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Who's your new friends?
Yeah.
Wait a minute here. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776 is our Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. You can always tweet the show at ESPN 1460 1550 or email us at the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. One more thing on the ESPN coverage of training camp. You know where you're set. You know where you're set. Oh, hey, we are here live with our set at fill in the blank. Oh, it's Cleveland Day. We'll Skype in the coach. Hey, Flunky, go take a camera and set it in front of the coach so we can talk to him here in the studio. Coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, we will talk with Paul Stroh, American Legion Baseball, taking place up in Battle Creek for the Class C seniors, Shelton Gibbon. We'll also talk with De'Aaron Cochran, defensive end from Minnesota, as our Big Ten Media Day coverage continues here on our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the Midway Auto Outlet, open for business all right down South 2nd Avenue, providing everything you need from a lower-end daily driver with great gas mileage to late-model, low-mileage vehicles to brand new vehicles on their lot. America's most affordable mid-size crossover is the Dodge Journey, and it can be found at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Seat up to 8 with touchscreen and best-in-class storage system. Midway's full selection can also be seen online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. See your Midway auto dealerships. We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
ESPN
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun today, along with some scattered showers or storms around the region. With a high up in the mid-80s, wind stay to the southeast. Tonight, with a chance for storms, we'll head down to 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 73.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line, yeah. Your hands are tied, but you're losing grip quickly.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. UNK baseball coach Damon Day, our co-host on Tuesdays. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Are you impressed by Ronda Rousey?
Me?
UFC fighter?
I'm not a big UFC fan. I mean, obviously,
but she's kind of become more than UFC. Obviously,
yeah. I mean, I don't.
I said easily yes yesterday.
I mean, she's interesting.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, I don't know enough about MMA. I just know that, you know, don't. Why would you mess with those guys? You know. You know. I don't know if I ever says my favorite thing. I remember one time I was in college and there was a discussion between a baseball player and a wrestler, a heated discussion.
Yeah, I'm gonna no, it wasn't even a discussion, was it?
And so
we know where this ends up.
So my baseball, so we get to we show up at practice and everybody knows we're gonna get in trouble for this, right? And so my coach just looks at the kid and goes, "You're an idiot. He came to college to fight. You came to college to throw a baseball. There's a big difference. He shows up every day to practice fighting. You show up and you stand 60 feet from somebody and hurl something at him. Who's tougher?"
Interesting that you brought that up. By the way, it was 76% are impressed by Roundy. 24% says no, Ronda Rousey, not that big a deal. What fight would you rather watch? That's our Midtown Mark Cooler question today at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Royals Blue Jays, the Reds and Pirates, or the Dallas Cowboys versus the Dallas Cowboys? Which fight would you rather watch? I'm going to tell you right now, since two of my teams, the Royals and Cowboys, are involved there, I'll say Reds Pirates. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything.
Football fights are stupid.
Oh,
so you can't, you know.
But at least their helmets were off.
Even
so
dumber.
A little.
Even scarier. Baseball fights are the best because you got the guys between you. It becomes who got the longest arm to poke somebody.
Your mama.
In the chest.
Your daddy.
If you watch the Pirates fight, Rodriguez comes in out of nowhere and just starts screaming and yelling. It's like, I always like looking at the guys who are on the peripheral and like watching that, like looking at like McCutcheon and those guys. You know, like I always wanted to do this, and someday we should do this. I always want to get Alex Gordon on here. Or a Mike Moustakas, okay, or a Hosmer, kind of one of the even keel guys, to find out what he thinks of all, you know,
Volquez.
I can't tell you what he says about those types of things because their own teammates are like, I hope someone punches him in the face.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I'll have to go defend him, but I hope someone punches him in the face because most of the time the guys on their own team are like, oh God, I hope this kid gets hit. I hope this kid gets punched in the face.
Now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. You've seen The Replacements, the football movie?
Yes.
We're like Franklin hiding behind the jukebox.
There you go.
Battle Creek, it's a lovely town, and Shelton Gibbon has spent their weekend up there in the Class C Senior American Legion State Baseball Tournament. They are the defending champions. Paul Stroh and Kevin Mayfield are the managers, and Paul Stroh, kind enough to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, passing some time before they hit the field again at 5 o'clock. And Paul, congratulations. What do you guys do to pass the time up there?
Well, good morning, Doug. Good morning, Coach. Well, we just got done with our morning meeting where we go over the scouting report and figure out where we're going to go to lunch. And I think we're set to play today.
Paul, I think in any sport, when you attain the next level where you are consistently good and you're playing deeper into the season and you've got state tournament, I mean, there's just things that you learn and you do differently. And it's something that most programs that aren't to that level yet don't comprehend. And you guys have been good at Shelton Gibbon for a number of years. And, of course, part of that, your son, Kevin's son, they're a big part of that. When dads can take their kids all the way through, is the end anywhere in sight? Are we going to keep seeing great baseball over at Shelton Gibbon?
Well, I think it's going to continue. Our juniors had a great season. Unfortunately, both of our juniors in season were in a very tough district with DCB and PWG. And whoever wins that district is usually set for state. You know, our juniors were the number two seed in our district, and they lost. Even though the regular season we beat PWG and DCB, they both beat us in districts in close games. And then we had the same thing in the seniors. We beat PWG 1-0 at districts and DCB 2-0, which is a very tough district, and helps set us up for state for the very close games and the tough competition you're going to see.
Coach, the state tournament's going on right now, and Elmwood Murdoch is taking on Crofton in the game following you guys tonight, never to kind of get ahead of some things. But what has put those guys in, what makes those two teams successful in getting all the way through to the winner's bracket so far?
Well, E&M has very good pitching, and they have fielded the ball very well, and they've been opportunistic when they've got base runners on. Crofton, amazingly, has got through. I think they've only got 7 hits in the whole tournament. But they've taken the walk, and when they get on, they move runners and take advantage of errors.
Yeah, Crofton with the fortunate one inning yesterday. Kind of, you feel bad for Bruning Davenport Shickley. They're up 4-0. Crofton ties them. They go extra innings. BDS homers from Norder, one of the best athletes around. And then they walk, and then the bases are loaded. They hit a guy and walk in the winning run. So that's how Crofton wins yesterday. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your state tournament. All the games have been close. As you mentioned, the pitching has to be strong, and it has been. So take us through your 3 games.
Well, what sets us up, I think, and makes it successful is we've got very good pitching. Gareth pitched the first game. He pitched a 4-hitter and had 12 strikeouts and only 1 walk, which will help set us up. Pender is a very good team. Unfortunately, they went out 0-2, but we thought they were one of the better teams that we would face. And then Taren Hawks pitched the next game. He pitched a 3-hitter. Unfortunately, we walked 8 guys and hit a batter in that game, which allowed 5 runs to score for E&M. So if we think we get, if we are fortunate enough to win the game and face them again, we will concentrate on bearing down and not walking batters. And then Tanner Gideon pitched yesterday a 7-hitter. No walks and 6K. So our pitching has carried us through the first 3 games. And then hitting-wise, Stroh and hard Johnny Harders has just been crushing the ball, going 2-for-3 or 3-for-4 every game with doubles, DJ Mayfield and Tanner Gideon. For us to win the next couple games, we're going to need Derek Ellis and Taren Hawks to step up and start getting some more hits for us.
We're talking with Paul Stroh, Shelton Gibbon coach, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They play Louisville tonight, 5 o'clock, up in Battle Creek. Then if they win that, they would have to win 2 games tomorrow to repeat as the state champion. So do you have a huge game plan, Paul, as far as on the mound, or is it just all about tonight and who you going with?
Well, we're going with Garrett tonight. So he's going to keep it going close for us. So we feel that we score 3 or 4 runs, we should be in the game, if not winning the game. And then tomorrow, if we are successful, they will come back with Taren Hawks on 3-day rest and Tanner Gideon on 2-day rest. And we still haven't pitched our 4th pitcher, Jordan Richardson, so he still has all of his innings. He's a little bit, he doesn't throw as hard as the other 3 pitchers, but he's got very good junk. So we can put him in after one of those hard throws, and we can usually get an inning or two out of him if we need to in the next day or two also.
Talk a little bit about, I don't know if the mindset is different. There's always that, hey, last year you won it. And so some of those kids know what it's all about. Sometimes it's very, very tough to repeat because somebody might be a little bit hungrier. How has the season been from that standpoint for your team?
Well, the difference between last year was we were just excited to play, excited to get to the state tournament. We knew we could play with all those teams, but you're just excited to get every win. You know, this year, because we're kind of the hunted team, we kind of feel the pressure. So we're winning every game, but the kids are like, oh, we should have won by 8, or we should have won by 3, or, you know, I booted that air, or, you know, they just don't seem happy after our wins because they kind of feel the pressure that we should repeat, that we are one of the better teams. So I don't see them as kind of happy as they were last year. But I think there's still a little bit of the stress there.
Well, obviously, even though Louisville lost yesterday, their pitching has been outstanding. They've allowed a total of 2 runs in the entire tournament. What do you know about them besides that?
Well, we know their first 4 hitters are very good hitters. And we faced them 2 years ago in the junior state championship, although they beat us 4-0. So we expect them to have a very good pitcher on the mound. I'm not for sure they're going to pitch. And they are a very good contact hitting team. We don't think they're as powerful as hitting team as they were 2 years ago, because I think 2 of their players have since transferred to the E&M team.
That's an interesting dynamic, by the way, down there. We talked about that. I mean, they're like 7-10 miles apart, depending on which one of the towns you want to talk about. What was the atmosphere like for that last night?
I hear it's a very spirited atmosphere between the two teams. We kind of were in the middle, kind of on the E&M side, and they were very elated that they won. I think the last 2 years, Louisville has won the junior tournament. And so I think they beat them the last several years every time they played during the regular season and in their conference tournament. And then they're in the district tournament. So the E&M fans were very happy they got the 1-0 win last night.
And, Paul, I know it's always in the moment, and we want our kids to play as many sports as possible, but this is always tricky no matter what level it is. Conditioning started this week, and football practice starts next week for some of those boys on the team. They really have a hard time finding a break. Last year, I don't think it really affected the kids. I mean, they both had, Gibbon obviously had a really, really good football season. Was there any backlash from the long summer season when it went into fall?
I don't think so. I think actually winning helped carry momentum into the football season for all the kids who were still playing high school sports. Because for most of these kids in these towns, I don't think they've had a team ever go to state 4 years in a row and have the success that these kids have had. So I think that carry over, especially on the leadership role and what it takes to win, what a winner's about, and when things get tough on the football field or the basketball court, that the playing in the tight games here and winning carries over into those other sports.
Paul Stroh, manager of Shelton Gibbon. Paul, we know you're the brains of the operation. What does Mayfield even do?
Mayfield plays the good cop. I'm usually the back cop. He's the good cop. He's a very good sounding board. He has multiple years' experience coaching all sports. He's very good on vice. He keeps me even keel. He keeps the kids even keel. He's actually standing right next to me laughing right now. But he's very good. He's very good at that.
Well, he's probably hungry, so get him off to lunch, and hopefully you're playing baseball again tomorrow. Paul, best of luck to the kids tonight.
Thanks a lot. You guys have a great day, and thanks for doing all you do for Central Nebraska sports.
You bet. Thanks, Paul. Paul Stroh, manager of the Shelton Gibbon Seniors. They've been following these kids all the way through, and they go tonight, 5 o'clock against Louisville. Hard to... Let me ask you, Damon. You just came off a 3-game series. You gave up 2 runs. Would you expect to be 2-1?
Yes.
Because you expected both runs to be in the same game.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up 1 to Alma, none to Crofton, and lost 1-0 yesterday to Elmwood Murdoch. So,
that's baseball. That's what's great about it. That's what makes it interesting this time of year, is because you just don't know.
Winning 1-0 or losing 1-0?
Both. Both. I find it very weird, though, because I know that Nebraska used to do the all-class tournament, which they don't do that anymore, obviously, because Class B and C are still going on and Class A is done. But, you know, the Class A state champions from Creighton Prep and
Millard South,
you know, they start football conditioning, and they won't be, you know, you're starting to see how much that starts to overlap from that standpoint, and it goes again to the seasons start so early, condense so early, everything runs into each other. It's hard to get to the opportunity. I'd be interested to see the true numbers of how many of those kids, because I bet you'd be stunned at how many of those Creighton Prep baseballers and those Millard South baseballers don't play football anyway.
Probably true, and maybe in this instance, a lot of them are going to be going right off to college. They were seniors, and they're reaching that peak. And both of that, it's I had this printed off in front of me. I can't remember. I think they're in North Dakota this year in Bismarck, because sometimes it's in Rapid City, but I think they're in Bismarck this year. Gets underway this week. Yeah, they used to play a mini weekend. The two teams, of course, again, you just had one state tournament for Class A.
Yep.
And maybe one time I can remember the Class A team didn't go, and a B or C team did go. Waterloo Valley once went 2-2. They had a collegiate top-notch pitcher that they were able to ride all the way through. And, when they won, it was 1-0 and 10 and stuff like that. So, best of luck to those ball clubs. Folks, if you're getting ready for lunch or any time, the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill is there for you. No one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. You can slide on in, get your favorite meal, whether it's something like a steak or ribs, or you want something light like a salad, and of course dollar off every salad on Tuesdays at the Kearney Chicken Coop, or enjoy one of your favorite sauces on their wings, whether it's bone in, bone out, or one of their chicken sandwiches. You can douse it in your favorite, including the new mango habanero. Salads, quesadillas, beautiful yummy burgers and pizza, it's all there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. Best of both worlds. We'll be back and get into our Big Ten football with Therian Cochran, defensive end, Minnesota, and more from Coach Day after this.
Take the route to summer savings at Garrett Tires and Treads. The Fusion Touring Tire provides a quiet ride, combining value and comfort, as low as $44.95 for the 185 60R14 size. Firestone Precision Touring Tires provide great traction and high mileage and are $100 off a set of four. Drive into Garrett Tires and Treads now and save. Hurry, offer ends August 31st. Find out more savings at Garrett-Tire.com.
Garrett Guarantee. Garrett. Garrett Tires and Treads.
Keep calm and Kool-Aid on. The 18th Annual Kool-Aid Days Festival comes to Hastings August 7th, 8th, and 9th. The festival has moved to the campus of Central Community College, but you'll still find all the things you love. You can drink your fill at the world's largest Kool-Aid stand, enjoy musical entertainment all day, see a parade, eat festival food, play games, and drink more Kool-Aid. Visit Hastings, Nebraska, the birthplace of Kool-Aid, August 7th, 8th, and 9th. New location at Central Community College, Hastings campus. Same great weekend of fun for kids of all ages. Check out all the details at KoolAidDays.com.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport, equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment, with locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Enroll your kindergarten through fifth grader in the Hastings Family Y After School Fun Club. Your kiddos will enjoy snack time, adventure challenges, art and science projects, help with homework, and gym time. Member rate $40 per week. Registration due by August 1st. Non-member rate $45 per week. Registration due by August 6th. Transportation available for an additional $10 per week. For more information, call 463-3139. The Hastings Y After School Fun Club, where imagination flourishes.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with all the area county 4-H and livestock auctions. Trampy Ag, Kappa Grains, Zorb Farm, Exchange Bank Minden, Miller Body, Sapp Brothers, Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed, Ravana Sanitation, RAI of Nebraska, Exchange Bank in Gibbon, Stadler Implement in Minden, and Clevenger Farm Product. Good luck to each and every one of you taking time out of your summer to be a part of such a great program. It's a blue ribbon in itself.
Woof!
Make golf at the Elks a new part of your Kool-Aid Days tradition. Kool-Aid Days is at CCC, and we're right next door with great public golf from 8 a.m. to sunset every day. Plus, on Saturday, August 8th, you can enjoy the Kool-Aid Days four-person scramble. Shotgun start at 9 a.m. It's open to the public, and you can sign up as a single golfer, a pair of golfers, or a team of four. Just visit HastingsElksGolf.com and register online. Make a tee time and make Kool-Aid Days even sweeter at HastingsElksGolf.com.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're also going to hear some comments from Josh Lamerson, UNK's new football coach, just finishing up part of their action at Media Days down in Kansas City. Again, the Lopers picked to finish ninth. A couple of other notes here. Leadership Hastings will be honoring one of college football's all-time great players with their Osborne Leadership Award. Former Husker and College Football Hall of Famer Dave Remington will be in Hastings to accept the award at the 6th Annual Tom Osborne Leadership Award Banquet on Thursday, October the 8th at the Lachlan Country Club, one of the most honored linemen in college football history, and of course has served as president of the Boomer Esiason Foundation, dedicated to finding a cure for cystic fibrosis since 1995 after, of course, his quarterback in the pros with the Cincinnati Bengals. Also, Coach Osborne will be there. Strength coach Boyd Epley will give the keynote motivational speech for the evening. So there you go. All kinds of things. This just come down, so wanted to make sure you knew about that. The public is encouraged to attend the banquet. You can call Leadership Hastings, 402-461-8411, 461-8411. And Natalie Romeo scored 25 points and had 6 assists. The Nebraska women lost 81-72 to the Frankston Blues in their first of 4 games over in Australia this morning. So a couple of sports notes for you, right? Right there.
The women's basketball team's in Australia. The men is going to Spain.
Spain, yeah.
Yeah. Must be nice.
How about you guys?
Yeah, we're going nowhere. We're going nowhere fast this fall. So I do have a question for you as being a member of the media. How many members of the media go to an MIAA media day? Is it a large number? Is it just more of an in-house thing than that?
Very
way?
Large in the... I don't even want to say necessarily the Kansas City, but Topeka, and those Kansas schools bring some media folks down there. And again, this is where we've talked about before. In Kansas and Kansas State stunk forever. That gave these Division II schools a chance to shine. They did shine, so there is a little bit more base there. A following, but I'm not going to say like 100 people are there. I was watching the big room this morning when a couple of, like, when the commissioner was talking, it looked like if there was 25 people in the room. Now, I'm sure outside of that room there was television set up and they do one-on-ones with the MIAA, but I'm not going to go bonkers here and say it's 500 people because it's not. I'm sure 50 would be high, 25.
How many were at Big Ten Media Days? Just as a comparison. 1,000? 1,500? 500?
I'd say 500.
Okay.
I'd say 500. When you looked at everything that was going on, maybe that's high. You know what? Maybe that's high. There's 3 or 4 different venues if you're talking just media people, but if you're talking everybody that was involved with it, like the guys that have to set up the BTN set, the guys that have to do everything, there's easily 500 people.
Right.
Easily. And then you throw in the players and the coaches, you're getting closer to that 750. I don't know the exact answer, but the eye test, I would say 500 would be safe.
So a big event.
Oh, yeah, it's a big event. And speaking of that, let's get back into our Big Ten Media Day coverage brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska, and Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Big Ten Media Days in Minnesota, Golden Gopher football here on Nebraska's Doug and Daddy Show. When we say that, the Aaron Cochran, what's that bring to mind for you?
Man, funny. Funny.
It's not so funny where we're from, my friend. We're glad to have you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Appreciate the chat. Minnesota getting a lot of love. And you guys are one of the reasons, the three that you've brought here, and Coach Kill, and what you guys have been doing. Just talk about a little bit of the feeling of you have to know that you're getting better, don't you?
No, most definitely. You could look at our records from the previous years. We've improved every year. We've had 8 wins in the past 2 seasons, and we pride ourselves on that. We expect to get better. We expect to get even better this year.
It is kind of interesting from the Nebraska perspective because, you know, again, we've been around a long time. Minnesota football isn't what it was when I was your age. I mean, it is really kind of elevated.
That long ago?
Well, you know, which back then the helmets were leather and all that. When you look back, there has to be a tremendous amount of pride of being part of that elevation.
Yeah, most definitely. We're building a program, and we're trying to be something great. So it's fun to be a part of that.
We're talking with a young man out of Homestead, Florida, and Thierry Cochran, senior, going to lead Minnesota into another outstanding football season here. I remember last year when we were talking to Minnesota players, a majority of the talk was, we have to beat Wisconsin. We have to beat Wisconsin. That's our game. Is that still the one thing that needs to get done here, and obviously probably needs to get done if you want to win the West?
Yeah, it's definitely on our to-do list. We have many goals, but that's definitely one of them. We were one half away from winning that game last year, and we would have been in the Big Ten championship. We know that, and we've worked in the offseason on making adjustments.
We always talk about the one game at a time. So when it's at the end of the year, how hard is it to not look ahead? That's the major goal.
Oh yeah, definitely. Just take it one day at a time. 1 week at a time.
When do you start thinking about Wisconsin? I mean, you think about them in the off season, but when TCU rolls in, then you don't worry about them till the end of the year. Or is there something every week in practice goes, okay, this is a Wisconsin drill?
Yeah, it's definitely. We don't worry about that until that week. You can't worry about Wisconsin when you got to take care of TCU. You got to stay in the moment. You got to focus on what's at hand.
When us Nebraskans know Minnesota because last 2 years the Gophers have gotten the Huskers. And so I think you're making a name within the Big Ten Conference. An opportunity is in front of you with TCU being that very first game of kind of arriving on the big stage. Do you give that a whole lot of thought? How important is that game for you?
Oh, it's very important. Every game is important at that. But we want to go out. We want to show who we are. We're going to play our game. We know who we are. We're not going to change anything, and that's what's good about it.
We had a chance to talk to Calhoun. Tell me a little bit about him. He seems to have it going on, well-spoken young man. And he told us about the tight-knit group the defense has, but give us a little background on him as well.
Man, that's the leader of the defensive backs, the leader of the defense as well, man. He works hard every single day. He's he watched film. He's a perfectionist. He pays attention to detail, and he has a little chip on his shoulder. He wants to show that he's definitely one of the best cornerbacks in the Big Ten.
Well, only 3 players from the Gophers are here this weekend at Media Days. Is that kind of a sign of the leadership that you have, and what is your leadership style?
Yeah, definitely. Me, Body, and Mitch, we're the leaders of the team. Me and Body, we take care of the defense. He's more with the defensive backs and with the defensive line and linebackers and stuff like that. But, yeah, we know our parts, and the team looks up to us, and we work hard, and we set the example for the rest of the team.
Are you a quiet leader, or are you in your face when they need to be in your face? Because defensive ends can do that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Over the past years, I had to become more vocal. I was more of a lead-by-action type of guy, but now I've become more vocal, and I speak to my teammates better now.
Defensive end Thierry Cochran of Minnesota with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thierry, do you watch other DNs in the conference, in the country? When you watch football and watch your position, are there some other guys that you have picked things up from during your career?
Most definitely. I love to watch a lot of NFL games, like guys like Alden Smith, or you have to watch J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's one of the it's unbelievable when I watch his film. He could line up from anywhere from the inside all the way to the outside, and he could dominate anywhere on the defensive line. He uses his hands great. He knows how to get to the backfield. He makes plays every single week, and that's somebody any defensive lineman definitely should watch.
You're already a graduate of the University of Minnesota, degree in business and marketing education. What is marketing education? What do you want to do with it when football's over?
Well, for my business and marketing education, one day I want to be able to own my own company. So having that business or marketing background is definitely it's going to be effective in being having a successful company.
So marketing education, you're going to educate me on why I need to buy your stuff.
Yes, most definitely.
Tell me a little bit now of the highlights maybe of your Minnesota career as you get ready for your last season. Everybody says, man, this was a cool place to play or this was a cool moment in my career. Can you share a couple of those with us?
Some of my favorite.
Yeah.
Winning the pig, those trophy games, winning the jug. Winning the bell, it's just one more to go. But I mean, it's definitely that's the fun part. It's a very traditional school, and we have rivalry games that are unbelievable. And our fans make it the best. They come out and they enjoy it.
How does a Florida kid like yourself end up in Minnesota? What was the selling tool there?
When I came on my visit, I had a great time. It was a beautiful atmosphere. Minneapolis is a beautiful city. And just being able to play in the Big Ten, I feel that it's one of the better conferences in college football, very aggressive. And I wanted to be a part of playing big teams like this and play a schedule like we have this year.
Homestead, Florida is not known for its snow. However, where you're playing football now is, have you kind of had to explain to your friends and family back home? It's like, you got to pack a little different than you're used to if you're going to come watch me play at home.
That's the first question I always get asked when I come back home. Is it cold up there? How is it? I don't know how you do it. Those are some of the things I get told, but I love it, man. I feel like it's a great change from being in the sun all the time. It's good to have some of that snow and throw it around, and it's fun.
When Husker fans, and they've been up there, obviously, it's a drivable. It's one of the few drivable games now for fans that live in Lincoln and moving up there. Well, what should they do when they come up besides watch the Nebraska-Minnesota game? You got a couple of pointers for them? Where are your favorite places to have a little grub or be entertained? What would you throw out to a Husker fan that's coming up this year?
Oh yeah, you gotta go eat in Dinkytown. It's a lot of good food spots in Dinkytown. You got Tony's Diner, Al's Breakfast. I believe Al's Breakfast been there since the 40s or 50s or something like that. And it's a little small breakfast restaurant, and I feel it's the best breakfast in the that I've had.
Well, you mentioned the rivalry games because there's a lot of trophy games that Minnesota plays in with their tradition. Where does Nebraska kind of rank in those matchups that you guys have?
I feel that it's one of the new rivalries now. It's starting to become a little heated now, and it's fun when both of the teams know what's at stake when we both step on the field. It may not be an actual trophy out there that we're playing for, but it's definitely a rivalry. It might be a little rivalry now.
Theron Cochran with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If they win a lot of games this year, it'll be well-deserved. It's a pretty tough schedule out there, but this is not the Minnesota old, and you're one of the reasons it's not the Minnesota of old. So thanks for giving us some time, and we'll see you midway through the season.
Thanks for having me.
That's Theron Cochran. It's fun to see the big old football players dressed up with the tie, with the attitude. They have to talk to so many different places. They never know what you're going to ask them. And Theron, just most of them over the years, wherever we're at, they just seem like really good dudes.
And were you there for the Kirk Cousins?
I wasn't. I've never went to the luncheon. The luncheon is not open to the media. You would have to buy your $150 ticket just like everybody else. And it's during our show. I mean, I'll whether you want to say it's excuses or not, and you can watch it on the Big Ten Network when you get home.
Right.
So, no, but I've seen the Kirk Cousins speech and the Amir Abdullah speech and the Nate Sudfeld and Josh Perry gave it this year. So, and Denard Robinson. I've seen the speeches, just not live.
If you are a fan of college football, if you have a son or daughter or anything, and you're in the listening area and you want to just kind of give some motivational type of stuff, is go to YouTube and do the Kirk Cousins, do the Denard Robinson interview from the Big Ten Media Days, because they are special interviews. It's something that I show my team every year. I show my classes every year. It's just good to hear young people, and that's the thing we talk about is. As a coach, every day I'm around great like you were saying, just good dudes, great dudes. You know, they're learning. You know, for you, you probably interviewed them when they were maybe a junior, and now they come back as a senior, just polished.
You know, there's a couple of them like
you know,
that.
Just really mature.
Shirley Calhoun, Michigan State would be one of them.
Yeah, you know, and so as a coach, I see these guys just like we were talking about during the break. They just work so hard, and they you know they just go about it. But then all we're going to talk about is the guy who got arrested. All we're going to talk about is the guy who got the DUI or the fight. And that's what's great is 95% of the student-athletes are doing it right. They're giving back to their communities. They're doing those types of things. But that's not the story. It's always got to be the 5%, the screw-ups, because that draws headlines.
I think this is one of those. And let me preface my comments by saying I don't think there's anything wrong with either one of this. But you are going to see this dividing line right now. There are more than two groups of athletes, but this is where we're at, because at media days there are enough people that you might have one guy from one paper or one online organization that's there for one story. They're there for one story, and I heard this a couple of times. What do you think about the per diems getting paid and your likeness being used? You know, the big lawsuit against all the video gaming, against some of the video gaming. And, you know, some of the guys are going like, I don't care. You know, some guys think it's cool that they're on a video game. Others think that they need to get paid. And again, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. But I think that you see that, like Kirk Cousins and Denar, they were saying, represent your school. I am proud to be a member of this university. This university doesn't owe me. I owe them. They gave me this opportunity. There are two totally different ways of looking at things, and that's just one of the many things that I think will continue to kind of almost divide. I mean, these guys, they don't, whatever. Most of them are just whatever. They're just college kids. They want to play their sport. They want to go to class, and they want to graduate, and they want to have a little fun while they're doing it.
And then I like to explain to people is they already are getting paid. The per diem and everything else is a raise. It's basically a raise based upon the backs of other individuals who have made this game so popular and did not get it. You know, and so let's not act like they've played for three. They're not Division III athletes. They did get paid for their likeness. They received I don't even know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars. What is a college education worth over its lifetime? So let's not act like, you know, that they have not been compensated. It's people saying, are they fairly compensated? And I think that argument can be across the board in any job that there is in this world. There's a debate of worthwhile and what you get paid as compared to what you bring to the table. That's a debate for everybody. This debate is not just limited to college football players. There's, you know, why do police officers make $40,000 a year and some guy who can tackle somebody make $5 million a year? It's law. It's who can do those types of things. But those have been debates that have been going on forever. And so I think that now, like you were saying, there's those guys that go to media days looking for a fight. There's those guys that are looking for the slip up. They're looking for the controversial comment of someone who's going to do it. I thought it was funny. I forget whether it was the World Herald or the Chicago Sun-Times who had they asked five guys what they would do with it. Four of them said they would buy food, and there's one guy on there who's like, I would invest.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not investing in anything.
You liar!
I mean, if those were the case on those types of things, but I thought it was hilarious, the food thing. Because I know how much money we spend at the University of Nebraska-Kearney on a road trip in food, and we don't have, you know, we have guys half the size, and all they do is eat.
Nate Gary was one of them.
Yeah, like you cannot get enough food in front of these people. Even when we go to a buffet, it seems like they just graze. And they're like, all right, let's load up the bus. They're like, okay, one more. And then you see guys with like carrying out muffins or cookies. And I'm just like,
it's like Bluto in Animal
exactly.
House.
It's like you weigh 180 pounds and you just ate you ate one-tenth of your body weight in cheesy fries and steak night at the Golden Corral. Like, I can't even fathom it. It's the amount of food young men eat. And
they wonder why the back of the bus is weighed down.
Yeah. Or you wonder why we always got to stop. So
there's only one on the bus. Our Big Ten Media Day coverage and Big Ten interviews brought to you in part by Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. Tomorrow, Michigan. We will talk with J.U. Chesson, outstanding wide receiver. Will he have somebody that can throw him the ball? And what's Coach Jim Harbaugh been like so far? I figured we'd get some of the tough names out of the way first. We got a lot of good ones that we'll be bringing you over the next couple of weeks as we get closer to college football season. Again, the Huskers will practice Thursday, and Fan Day is tomorrow night, 6 to 7:30. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back and hear from Loper Coach Josh Lamerson, a couple comments down from MIAA Media Days after this.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've gotta see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's. Call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
If you got it, show it.
Get ready.
That's right, baby. TDLC Cruise Night 2015 is Friday, August 14th in Hampton. We challenge you Tri-City Street Rods, Living Legends, and Central Nebraska Auto Club to put your hot rod where your mouth is. On Main Street in Hampton, August 14th at 6 p.m. Sandwiches and drinks are provided. Family fun for everyone. Friday, August 14th at 6 p.m. on Main Street in Hampton. TDLC Cruise Night invites you out to show your shine. Cruise on into Hampton, August 14th.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, sports talk in any condition.
What I can't fathom is how one can drink ice cold beer in freezing weather.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. I'm Bobby Cloud 9, my head's in the sky.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Damon Day, Loper baseball coach. TNL Irrigation has dealers throughout the state of Nebraska and, of course, throughout the United States and more than 60 countries worldwide with their outstanding hydrostatic pivot system, the product that has revolutionized the industry. Stop by and see Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, Bill Shapley, Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. They have the GPS navigation system on both the PP3 and their corner system that is new out here this last season. Get track on track accuracy, pass after pass, fast startup time, and real-time diagnostics, and you can watch it work right there at your TNL dealer or in your field, TLIRR.com. Damon Day, you just got back from vacation. Was it all driving?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
The kids, did they watch movies?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it on the vehicle or is it just on
iPad? Oh, no,
iPad?
It's on the vehicle.
Okay.
That was a perk.
And you and Jess listen to music?
Yep. Kids got the headphones.
You have to fight over what you listen to?
No.
No, it's good there?
Yep.
Did you ever, do you have to listen to games when you're traveling? Ball games are on?
If she's sleeping or something, yeah, I'd pick up the Royals game.
She has to be sleeping.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's
me. Yeah, she's not listening to the Iowa Cubs game.
Are you?
No,
God no.
You know, so, but she'll listen to Major League Baseball games, but like we kind of caught an Iowa Cubs game. We had a Kane County Cougars game on for a while. And so she, you know, but no, it was awesome. It was just a really fun family trip. It was a really good time.
I do. You brought it up off air, so we haven't talked about it on the air this week. The terrible tragedy with the young bat boy, 9 years old. I mean, as I said, I can't do anything as far as comprehending it more than saying it was an accident. I don't know how to say anything else. I mean, the young man was wearing a helmet. He was 9. That's right in that ballpark of kids that are bat boys. Obviously, the young man that was swinging the bat, warming up, didn't see him. We know how that can work. both focused on different things. And you said, hey, the Lopers have had some kids, not on this team, but have had some kids play down there.
Yeah, we've had numerous guys play in the Jayhawk League and play for the Liberal BJs. And some, it's summer league. All of our guys probably – there's not one of our guys who's played for us over the last 10 years who's gone off to play summer ball, but that doesn't remember their bat boy. It's everywhere in the summer. I don't want to say it's an annual rite of passage. It's a scary thing. We kind of were talking about how, you know, Bubba wants to be a bat boy at Memorial Field, but
your son, for those that don't know.
Yep, Cody John, and it doesn't fit well at Memorial. Memorial is very cramped. When you see Memorial, you know that. It's very close. Everything's very close to home plate. So we just kind of decided he did it last year as a thing, and I know we've had some older boys and some Legion guys kind of do it a little bit as well, but it's just kind of changed. It's just a risk nowadays, and it's a tragic accident. But, you know, there's other things that you can do to get the youth involved where you don't have to send them out. You know, we were talking about, you know, being the foul ball boy or, you know, something like that where there's someone that can kind of signal to them where to go. But even then, if you're running the foul balls out, you could run into a swing. I mean, that's the thing is they're throwing projectiles and they're swinging clubs. Or bats, you know, and so just very sad prayers go out to him and you know the UNK baseball program. We sent a little donation down to the family, and some of my players had kind of said, "Hey, coach, are we gonna you know do something like that?" And without a doubt, we did. Coach Murray from Pittsburgh State kind of organized the MIAA head coaches to kind of mobilize and do some fund me thing, and I you know in a situation like that, I can't even. It's unfathomable. So. Hug your kids and you know cherish the time that you have. You know, far the left-handed pitcher from Ohio State. I want to say Richie Farmer, but I know that's not it. But the left-handed pitcher from Ohio State passed away today after his huge battle with leukemia. You know, and so it just kind of is one of those situations that you just need to. You know, you don't want to get all. I don't know how you would say it, over the top with things, but cherish the time that you have with friends and family and cherish those individuals. Zachary Farmer, you know, and so they're, again, today the Big Ten baseball families are having to deal with those types of things. And so life's short, and I think that's something that, you know, that if good can come out of it, it's understanding that time is short sometimes. And so, I mean, you know, you look at the pictures of the little guy, and he loved it. I mean, if you've ever been around little guys or little people, as I like to call them, that they love being around baseball players. If that's their sport, they love being around them because baseball players, more so than anything else, you get to be around them. You truly do. You get to talk to them in the dugout.
Well,
the quarterback's not stopping over in between plays.
Playing football, yep. They usually got the mask.
Yeah, and basketball.
Peyton Manning threw a couple passes here this weekend to a couple fans in the crowd. Also really cool. And yeah, it's a heavy thing, but it was sports related, and I thought, with a little connection there, you could make a comment on it to kind of turn it around and maybe put a smile on our face. 22 years ago, Robin Ventura made a really, really bad mistake. He went out and was going to say hi to Nolan Ryan. That didn't work out so well for Robin Ventura.
I still remember watching that and still thinking, what was he doing? Like, if you watch Robin Ventura's career, he's the all-time hits leader at Oklahoma State. He had the longest hitting streak in NCAA Division I college baseball. A really good guy. I've met him. I met him numerous times because he had a connection to Benedictine University where I went to college. Met him on numerous times. Just a really cool, laid-back guy. I don't know what possessed him to go after Nolan Ryan.
Well, he did the double take, but it was like somebody yelled, "Go!"
It was like someone's like, "Hey, he's going to hit you. And if you don't go,
I don't care. It's Nolan Ryan."
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, but you look at him, and I still think to this day, he's got to think to himself, "God, what was I thinking?" You know, we all have those moments in our life where we're like, "God, what was I thinking?" His is replayed on every Jumbotron.
So great.
Everywhere that guy goes, they play that. Because he's now the manager, for any of you who don't know, he's now the manager of the White Sox.
Just bulldogs him. It's so great.
If you haven't seen it, YouTube it. YouTube Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan, because it is absolutely hysterical. It is a true baseball fight.
It is the 88th annual Southwest Open this weekend at the Holdridge Country Club. The $95 entry fee includes a free practice round if you'd like to do that on Friday at their beautiful facility. Free range balls to get warmed up each day. A great dinner on Saturday night. The Calcutta, always a highlight. Now, if you need to rent-a-cart, contact them to do that for a small extra fee. But you can look at all the details online at HoldridgeCC.com, HoldridgeCC.com, or get signed up today at the Holdridge Country Club, 308-995-5744. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 88th Annual Southwest Open at the Holdridge Country Club, 995-5744. And before we hear from Josh Lamerson, how's your, you're on vacation, how's your golf game? Am I worried for Friday?
No, sir.
Carney Eye Boosters?
No, sir. Okay. I'm feeling it.
I need somebody to carry this team.
I'm feeling
all
it.
I'm doing is driving a cart.
I'm feeling good about the golf game. I really am. My rounds are down a little bit this year, but my quality is way up. So okay. I definitely enjoying.
Team ESPN just somewhere in the middle. That's all we need. Josh Lamerson at MIAA Media Day.
We're going to win. There's none of this. I just want to compete for my 18th place ribbon.
Hey, man, it's going to be tough for this three. It's a four-person scramble, and there's only going to be three of you that are any decent at golf. So I'm just driving the cart. So let's see if you guys can, you know. Hey, I'm there. I'll try and throw a putt in. Once in a while, maybe I can drain a putt anymore.
The sand is falling out of Mr. Duda's shorts right now.
Josh Lamerson down at MIAA Football Media Day today. Just a quick opening comment as the Lopers were picked to finish ninth going into his first year at UNK.
You know, we obviously went through a transition at UNK, and since January when our staff got there, I think one of the great things that we found out was we have great kids there at UNK and kids that have embraced the challenge of transition, 18 to 23-year-olds that have really taken off and run with everything that we've thrown at them. So, you know, from the very beginning, it's been an awesome experience. The staff that we've been able to assemble are a bunch of obviously great football minds, but great men first and foremost, and really trying to give our kids the tools to go out and be successful leaders in the community, better husbands, better fathers, and our kids have embraced that fact. Transitioned into spring practice where we actually got to put our hands on them, work with them a little bit, and really we used spring as a learning experience for the players to find out what could do from a scheme standpoint. Went relatively slow in that regard, and then our to find out what our kids could really do well, and then transitioned into summer. Had a great summer with our strength and conditioning staff, and these kids have really taken off and run and embraced the strength and conditioning program. We've had over 60 guys most of the summer that stayed on campus in Kearney and worked in some form of capacity or another and dedicated their summer to each other and the program. So that's been really exciting. Obviously, looking season, we've seen your leader coming back that have played a lot of snaps in the MIAA. They've been through some ups, some downs with the UNK program, but are really excited for the season, not only to face the challenges of the MIAA, but to really band together and see if we can do something special.
UNK football coach Josh Lamerson really didn't say anything there that we hadn't already heard going through spring ball and our chances to talk with the coach, and not really throwing out a lot of tidbits. Again, that's just happened, so we haven't heard the entire press conference yet here, and we'll work and have more for you tomorrow and on Sports Today.
When's GPAC Media Days?
That's coming up on Thursday.
Does Coach Harper get to speak at that too?
You know it.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know it, brother.
I love it.
I would only do a really bad half-Southern drawl here.
I got his cliche. I love his cliches, though. He helps me with my interviews. Like, when we got to go to other places sometimes and the beat writers will come up and ask you things, I just think of Coach Harper and think of how many different, you know. I love it. I love it.
Anyone
Coach Lamerson is the same way. Those football guys are awesome. They can talk in a complete circle.
Well, yeah, you got to have some of it.
Yeah.
But, again, that's why it's such a crazy circus, like, at any media day. Because, okay, why did they put the coach here and have the exact same people then follow him over to a different spot where nothing's changed? Okay, he sat at a podium here. Now he's sitting at a table. It's the same people asking the same questions, hoping that somehow he'll answer it differently so that you can catch one thing in there. And you know what? It always happens. When you have to be there for hours, it happens.
You'll contradict yourself at some point.
Some point you're going to...
I want to go sometime. I want the football guy to go honest one time. Ah, we're horrible.
We're horrible.
Charlie, we can't.
Charlie Weiss didn't last very long at camp.
We ain't got no energy. We got no hustle, and we're horrible.
We want to thank Therrien Cochran, defensive end, Minnesota. Paul Stroh, manager of the Shelton Given baseball team as they continue play at state. Tomorrow, we crank up our Loper Link again. Steve Stutzman's going to join us on the program, get you ready for tickets and a variety of other things. We'll also talk with Michigan wide receiver J.U. Chesson and all that coming up on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. Damon, see you Friday, man.
See ya. Hit him straight.
I'll hit him somewhere. Have a good one, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.